Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to thank people for, you know, just contributions. And sometimes we have something, we don't get to bring it. I appreciate your patience and just allowing Holy Spirit to do what He does. And just being patient with people and how things happen and everything. We don't want to offend anyone or harm anyone or frustrate anyone, but we do like to just do the best we can in accommodating and cooperating with what Holy Spirit wants to do and say. So I appreciate people hearing and being bold enough to come up and share with this and submit it. Do you think this is appropriate for this morning? So to me, it's I love contributions in the midst because Holy Spirit is speaking to us continually and constantly, and it's for our building up. It's for our edification, which is a good thing. Did I introduce myself already? I don't think I did. I'm Tom. I'm going to be Tom all morning. This is my beautiful wife, Randy, and we have the privilege of serving this family. We love this family. I love coming and being with this family, whether it's individually or corporately. It's outstanding. Last couple of weeks, we've been going through the book of Acts, and I have some books that I intended to give out last two or three weeks and didn't. In talking about the book of Acts, I love it because it's establishing culture. It's establishing the church, and it's the kingdom of heaven. And I won't say Israel made a mess of it as a nation leading up to Jesus, but they made a mess of it leading up to Jesus. And Jesus himself adjusted that, corrected that. And when Jesus came, he came to bring the kingdom then and now. And he established a culture. It's the way people live, the way people think. It's priorities and values, heaven's priorities and values. And there is a book that I have recommended many, many times to many people. And it's not the Bible. I'm not speaking about the Bible. I recommend a book to many people many times, and I don't agree with everything in this book. It's not foolproof. The Bible is foolproof. But there are so many principles in the book that I'm going to just encourage a few people to receive this morning. It's called The Culture of Honor. Anybody ever heard of it? I love this book. Like I said, I don't agree with everything in it, but this book is outstanding. It talks about principles. The author is a man named Danny Silk, a brilliant guy. Would anyone like a free copy? Okay. This morning, I want to continue on in a series on the book of Acts, but I have a simple question that is not a trick question. It's a simple face value question. How many people are going to go to a Super Bowl party tonight? Anybody brave enough to admit, I am? Okay, there's a few people that's like, yeah. How many people are excited they're not going to a Super Bowl party tonight? Look at all y'all. What? How can that be? All I can say is for those people not going to a party, I wish I was with you. 3 out of the last 5 years, I have not gone to a party. I am tonight, and I'm excited about going tonight. But I'm one of those people, I actually want to watch the game. I want to watch the game. I'm a football fan. I love football. But it's that time of year, and many of us will go where there's groups of 20, 30 people, and it'll be exciting. There are wonderful things. Guacamole is a wonderful thing about Super Bowl. Bean dip, wings, Lord Jesus, wings, shrimp cocktail, pizza. There's a lot of reasons why I'm going to the party that I'm going to. People go, football, eh. But it's the Super Bowl, and there's so many people who go to these types of things. It's funny to me. The people who aren't even football fans will at times go to these sort of things for socialization or support their friends, support their family. They're throwing a party. Let's just go. People go for friendship. People go for the funny commercials. People go just something different, great food. But many of us, we don't like going to social gatherings like that. It's just, we'd rather stay at home, but it's once a year, why not? Let's just go, some folks say. Let's go to somebody's house. There's not that many social gatherings, and I'm going somewhere with this morning's message. People get together for family birthday parties. Anybody ever during the year? Anybody ever go to a graduation party? Yeah. Go and support the college graduates, the high school graduates, just people that you never thought would make it through ninth grade. Let's throw them a party. Hey, and I'm not despising ninth grade. It was a challenge for me. Baby showers, bridal showers, Christmas parties. Look, they're already crying. It's okay. And it's okay. I am great with babies. No, honestly, if he goes out of control, that's fine. You know, go and take him out. But if he's a little fussy, he's probably a 49ers fan and already gearing up for the evening's finality. But gatherings happen, parties happen, events happen. There are any number of things that get us out of our house and out into someone else's house. Any number of things. Many of them are good. So this morning I want to talk again about the book of Acts. And I'm excited about it. I love the book of Acts. It's always ministered to me. I love it. I talked about the beginning of chapter 2 weeks ago. Last week I talked to, just kind of went through the whole of the majority of the second chapter of Acts. And this morning I want to focus on verses 41 to 47 of Acts 2. Reading from the New American Standard Bible. If that's your favorite, fantastic. If it's not, it's okay. There are other translations available. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help me this morning communicate your heart, that we would hear your voice, or that I would be challenged by your word this morning. Holy Spirit, that I would be provoked by you this morning. I set down my preferences, my opinions, my personality quirkisms. I set those down, Lord, and I submit them to you, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way with me, that you would lead me, guide me, direct me, that you would lead, guide, and direct us individually and as a family. We would hear your voice and say, yes, King Jesus. That I wouldn't make excuses, that I wouldn't just put you on my schedule somewhere, but Lord, I would run to your will. I would run to your voice. I would lean in to your voice, that I would adjust me to you. Help us this morning to see your word, the beauty and the power of your word, and say yes and amen to what you want from me and from us. Bless our time. Holy Spirit, help me in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So we looked into the beginning of chapter 2, probably 3/4 of the way through chapter 2, and things happened when Holy Spirit came. Things changed when Holy Spirit came. Never to be the same. Humanity will never be the same when Holy Spirit came. We're going to pick it up in verse 41 to 47. I'm just going to read through it. Verse 41 says, so then, those who had received his word were baptized. Speaking of Peter's amazing sermon. Who had received his word were baptized. And that day, there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually, everyone say continually. Continually, they, not two, not seven, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all those who had believed, most everyone, a handful, a couple, all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. Now we're in miracle realm. This don't happen. And verse 45, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Now, clearly, this was not the United States. Kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. The kingdom came. Jesus introduced, Holy Spirit inducted. Verse 46. Day by day. Sounds like a song, sounds like a movie. Day by day. Continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. I don't think it's a mistake. I don't think it's an accident that people are getting saved. People are getting added to the church. Why? Because the believers were behaving in such a way. I talked a couple of weeks ago about Psalm 133, where brothers dwell together in unity. The Lord commands his blessing. Heaven can't help but come when people, human beings, flesh, men and women, start behaving in unity. Doesn't mean we all think alike. Doesn't mean we all agree. Doesn't mean that we all like chocolate. Heaven help you if you don't. It's okay to be wrong. It's not a problem. But it's when people decide you're more important than my opinion. What I don't care about, but you care about, I choose to make important. Even if it's not a value to me. Because you're important. When people consciously make a decision, I want to love you in the way that you need to be loved. I want to be around you. I want to spend time with you. I want to value you. I want to hear you. I want to sense you. I want to experience your world, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Heaven can't help but come. And as a result, people, thousands, were getting saved. As I read through this, actually, I'm not going to elaborate on all 10, so don't freak out. But 10, and just these 8 verses, 7 or 8 verses, 10 amazing things, miraculous things happened as a result of Holy Spirit coming. In verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Continually devoting. That's a miracle. Also in verse 42, they continually devoting themselves to fellowship. Many of us find that easier. That might happen tonight. There will probably be some fellowship happening. Verse 43, signs and wonders were taking place. Verse 44, and all those who had believed were together. That's impossible. Verse 44 also, and all those who had believed had all things in common. Oh my gosh. Verse 45, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all. Verse 46, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple. How in the world do you do that? That's a miracle. Also, verse 46, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. I trust they had the good cooks at the forefront. That will bring gladness. Verse 47, in the midst of spending time together, They were praising God. They weren't grumbling. They weren't mumbling. They weren't wondering, why not me? In the midst of being together, they were praising God. And the 10th miracle that I saw in this grouping of scriptures, they're having favor with all the people. People are spending time together. And the favor of people was upon them. People weren't being jealous and covetous. Why didn't I get invited? Why were you invited? I don't like them. Why did you show up? There's just favor with the people. It's a miracle. But three things to me. It's almost like you have miracles and you have signs and wonders. But three things stand out to me out of this group. One, verse 43, many wonders and signs were taking place. That's amazing. Second thing, the miracle, the biggest of these group, of this group, verse 44. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. I almost wonder, was there any actual people involved? How do you do that? But what's mine is yours, what's yours is mine. We like to do what yours is mine better, especially if you have things. But how do you do that? And all those who had believed were together and had all things, not some things, not leftovers, all things in common. That is outstanding miracle. And the last and the biggest for me, the three prominent miracles out of this passage of 10 is verse 45. And I'm not going to elaborate on it this morning. I think it's fairly self-explanatory. Verse 45. Just stop for a second and think about your stuff. Your stuff. Your assets. What you have parked in your garage. When you do your taxes, April 15, 16, whenever the filing is this year, and you start listing stuff. It's that property. That little home. Verse 45. And they began selling their property and their possessions. Why? Sharing them with all. To me, that's almost more than signs and wonders. People who will do that. Who does that? These people. Why would they do that? Because they were filled full with Holy Spirit. They were filled full. That's not normal. Does anybody think that's normal? Oh, that's easy. I guess if you don't have anything, it's yours. Have it. But if you've got stuff, that ain't normal. And the Passion Translation, which is not a translation. It's a nice commentary. No comment. I like the Passion Translation. It's just not a translation. It's okay. It's okay. Verse 44. All the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Verse 45, Passion Translation. Out of generosity. And I'm not taking an offering. Everybody relax. We don't have a basket and car key basket out front. All the Mercedes, the Lexus Beamers, those keys go in first. If you've got a Ford, you can keep it. What? No. How? That's not right. Verse 45. Out of generosity, not compulsion, not guilt, not arm twisting, out of generosity. They even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Wow. 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 Jaw-dropping. Verse 46. But when Holy Spirit comes, He actually touches those things in us. He touches those things. because those are gifts from him. They're actually his things. He gives us stewardship to take care of them. But everything we have comes from him. Everything. It's his. Verse 46. Daily they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes. Who loves to have people in their home? Y'all are a strange bunch. Is anybody? Yeah, three people raised their hand. Yeah, I'm a strange bunch. I like that. They were late, but we counted them. Who just by nature, typically, I'm not that sort of person that has someone in my house. I'm not all that excited. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Lee, thank you. Some people amongst us have the gift of hospitality, and we love you. I hope also you can cook. Some of us don't have the gift of hospitality. We're more have the gift of hostility. I'll meet you at the door. Thank you. You can drop off whatever you want to drop off. This far, no further. But these people were past personal preferences, past idiosyncrasies. Yes, I said that. They're past themselves. Father, it's yours. It's yours. Verse 46, daily they met together in the temple courts. That's okay. And in one another's homes. To celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. That's Holy Spirit. That joyful and tender humility. And it wasn't just chapter 2. As we, if you know the book of Acts, it carried on. In Acts 5, people were selling property. That's another message coming weeks in chapter 5. Stay tuned. But people were still selling properties, not just in chapter 2, not just in those 3 weeks. In chapter 6, they're distributing food equitably because some people are marginalized. Some people are receiving more. And so they're giving out. They're distributing. It's voluntary. It's not enforced, mandated socialism. You got, so we take. You got too much, so we're going to take. It's not socialism. It's kingdom. It's the kingdom of heaven. Come amongst them. Come amongst us. It changes everything. But I look at this and I think, well, they're meeting every day. They're getting together. I don't think they had Super Bowl every week. I don't think they had a Super Bowl every day. I don't think they had guac every day, to their pain. I'll come to your house. You got guac and wings? I'm in. Invite me. I will make sure that your goods do not go to waste. Sometimes when I think about this, you know, and I just people, it's people, men, women, old, young, all sorts, and they're having life together daily, not Sunday, daily. Amen. That's the word that gets me. I have no, yes, of course, they were used to gathering in the synagogue before Jesus come, and now they're in church on the Sabbath, Sunday. Great, no problem. But who has time for that? Who has time for me that often? I always wonder, was it like a Del Webb community? Everybody's retired. Sure, I got nothing going. Come on over. No jobs. Everyone's a retired millionaire. Wouldn't that be grand? Sure. But these people have jobs. They have families. And they're getting together daily? Or maybe another scenario, it's kind of like, maybe it's like they were all like first-year students at Mizzou. It's a party every night. It's crazy. You only lasted one semester before you flunked out, but yeah, come on over tonight. Go Tigers. But it wasn't a Del Webb community of all retirees who have time. It wasn't all 19-year-olds Hey, let's have a party. My challenge is, and you can do this on your own time, go onto the internet. I know, edgy. And just search Acts 2, 41 to 47. Just do a search. And you'll see 10, 30, 50, 100 different sermons. And most of the sermons will have these two words in the sermon title or function or bones of what they're saying. All the pastors, all the preachers call this passage, 41 to 47, Acts chapter 2, they call it healthy church. I don't know who they're pastoring. Because if that's healthy church, how are we doing? And all these messages online are all American pastors. Like, liar, liar, pants on fire. Healthy church. And yet it is. It is healthy church. And I get it. There were some obvious significant differences in that culture in that day. It was more of a pedestrian society. I don't think many, not every, not okay. 2,000 years ago, they probably just had one car per family. Just one car. Parked out front. This society was more of a pedestrian society. People are walking to get wherever they're going. They lived within close-ish proximity. They're at the market all the time, every day, because they don't have refrigerators. Weird. Poor people. Ew. So they're naturally out. They're naturally in close proximity. They're seeing Sue and Bob and Floyd and Carl and Lucius all the time. Lucius. Huh? Early derivative of Luke. Our distance, most of us are not that close to one another. If you've got somebody living in your same neighborhood, you're like, hey, I live right next to you. It could be six streets over, but I live right next to you. But for us, 21st century, we work hard. So many of us, we work hard all day, whether you're at home or out. We work hard. And when it comes time to, Andy, it's okay. Worship's over, but... Yeah. That'll teach you. Sorry. Mm. Oh, that's going to cost me later. But we work hard all day. And I don't know if you're like me. When I come home, I want to be home alone. Yeah, some of us, well, some of just the local natives are with us. The normal, well, the usual people, not normal. But those that we expect to be home, those are the ones I want home. I just want to relax. Anybody ever go home? I just want to relax. What does that mean? I don't want you. It's not personal. It's not personal. I just want to relax. When we go home, I want to get the kids to bed. I just want to collapse. Batteries! I just want to chill at night. But as I look and I'm like, golly, I read the passage, I read it and it's real. It happened. These people were so gripped with Holy Spirit, so overcome with Holy Spirit. They're selling property to bless those around them. Wow! It seems so extreme, it's easy to dismiss it. And think, well, it was just different. It was just different for them. I don't think so. I don't think so. They're selling their stuff to give to people who don't have stuff. We had a gentleman in the past, 25 years ago, different church. It was a young man. We'll call him Bob. He shall be known as Bob. He's a young man, 17-ish, got saved. 9 or 10 of his high school friends all got saved. They all started coming to church. Great things were happening. It was amazing. And Bob was, he was kind of more towards X, Y, and Z on the alphabet. He was different than maybe a lot of the other people in the church. And Bob had a great idea because he started reading the Bible. And he said, "Pastor, this is perfect. When are you going to sell your house? You've got two cars. I think you should sell your stuff and help me." 17. Bold little man. Bold. We were laughing about him because he's a sweet kid. Really is. Now he's a man. But he's at the time he's a sweet kid. Now he's a sweet man. But he so struggled. He says, "Tom, the Bible says, why aren't we doing that?" And, you know, I wanted to say, go to college. Get a job. Cut your mom's grass, because she's talking to me about it. Bob, go cut mom's grass. But Bob wasn't interested in that. Bob wanted stuff, my stuff, your stuff, our stuff, his stuff, as he saw it. And it's funny, Bob ended up moving. This is a little bit of a, I won't say where he was from. Bob ended up getting married and moving downtown, living in a Christian commune for 20 years. God bless him. And he wanted to experience that. Bob still doesn't have a job. But he's in a community that is struggling. So I get that there's some people like, why don't we just do this? And a lot of those people who are saying, why don't we do that? Sometimes a lot of those people don't have stuff. Does that make sense? If you don't have stuff, let's share. If you don't have stuff, your stuff looks great. Looks more gooder. So it's easy to disqualify. It's easy to put out disclaimers. But the Bible is the Bible. The Word of God is the Word of God. It stands on its own. This community of people lived like this. This is how they experienced life. And the beautiful thing is God blessed them. God was with them. People were getting saved and added to them. I'll bet. The community finds out, hey, we're giving houses and cars and selling them. Hey, you got a need, come on. Oh, yeah, they're going to come on. We don't need Jesus, I want your stuff. I love that word generosity. We do talk about it a lot here, generosity. And we have things that are happening, and families in need. If you're newish here, we receive money from this family once a year and we distribute it during that next following year for just need. Andy and Steph, did I run him out of town? He's gone now. People, Andy and Steph came. They're from England. New worship pastor, beautiful wife, two little boys, wonderful, amazing family. And this family, we were generous. We blessed, and we will continue to be a blessing to them. So it's not like we're Scrooge personified. We are generous. We are a generous family. We give tens of thousands of dollars away every year. You can talk to our finance team. We'll tell you. We give lots of money away every year. It's part of our DNA. We love it. It's that culture of honor, the book that some of you just received this morning. It's generosity. Does it happen all the time? Is it our lifestyle? Absolutely. Is it our culture? Absolutely. And I ask myself, am I hungry for God? Do I want Holy Spirit? Because when Holy Spirit comes, he starts touching my stuff. Because it's his stuff. And I always remember this young man who came to Jesus and said, "I've done all the things. I've done all the things. I've kept all the laws." And Jesus looking at him, "Huh, young man, one more thing. Go and sell everything you have. Give it away. Then come follow me." I didn't mean that. And the boy went away sad, the Bible says. And Jesus didn't chase him down the trail. Let him go. You figure that out. What is God saying to you, young man? Jesus touched on it all the time. Does stuff own me, or do I have stuff? Does it own me? What am I devoted to? These people, devoted to breaking bread, devoted to prayer, devoted to the apostolic teaching, devoted to fellowship. And if you, some of us who are older, we hear a cry from the young people in our community. You know what so many of them are saying they want? Community. I hear it over and over and over again. Young people, I want community. And I want to ask them, what does that mean to you? I think it's some of this. It's sharing life together. It's having friends, doing life with your friends. It's the church community is together. I believe it's not a one-time thing. I don't think it's 3 years. They all want community. I think it's a human DNA, heaven DNA thing inside them wanting community. I think it's healthy. It's God. Community. What season? Sometimes how we are with allowing people into our busy world, we're in different seasons of life. Single mom, single dad. Man, it's so hard. I'm struggling just with enough time to get the kids a bath once a month. You know, I don't want y'all coming over unless you can clean and help. So it's a challenge. Some of us have physical challenge, financial limitations. But how do we develop true community? It seems so juxtaposed to American mindset. It's just, that's hard because we're so busy. So many of the people in this room, I think of a man sitting right here in front of me, works 50, 60, 65 hours a week, just tired all the time, stressful job. My heart goes out to him. And yet the scripture, it doesn't say asterisk, except for Americans, except for you busy people, but yet there's a reality of life to where we're at. We look at the seasons of life and those are very, very real. For many of us, it's like, man, you are asking to invade my personal space. There's a reason why I have a front door. There's a reason why that front door is locked. There's a reason why my garage door is down. If the garage door is up, maybe. But I'm a private person. I'm busy. Yet Holy Spirit comes. And all those people in Acts 2 were no different than us. But they were full of Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he changes us. To live like this takes extraordinary intentionality. Did I say that right? Intentionality? It's a lot of syllables right there. It's extraordinarily intentional to live like this. But heaven will come and heaven will bless it. So great, but how? How do we do that? Great, but how? I'm going to buzz through these as I want to do. Great, but how? How do I do that? Where do I start? First thing. Great, but how? Am I willing to even consider the possibility? Am I even willing to consider the possibility? Second thing I can do. Am I friendly? Am I a great listener? Am I encouraging? Am I positive? Or those aren't my personal attributes, and I ask my friends to tell me. Because if people are coming over to my house, if I'm going to other people's houses, do they want me over there? Do I dominate conversations? Do I only talk about me? Do I always make sure the conversation circles back around to me? Am I negative? Am I critical? Am I Sister Thorn and my husband is Brother Branches? Am I those sort of people that people would actually love to have around? They'd love to come to my house. Am I friendly? Am I a great listener? Third thing, when somebody comes into my house, this is so important. When somebody comes over to my house for social time, do I sit down while these people are talking and make eye contact with them and listen to them? Or am I busy in the kitchen? Am I busy doing this, busy doing that? They came over, but I was busy the whole time. Am I attentive when I'm with people? Next thing, great, but how? Am I that sort of person who's always challenging people with what they're doing and how they're thinking? From their perspective, do I make them feel wrong or stupid? Why do you do that? That's stupid. I wouldn't do that. You did what? Okay, woo. Do I make people feel warm and comfortable? Or am I just always challenging people because they're different? Next, for myself, great, but how? Start with small steps. Mentally investigate. Do I want to open my world up to other people? Do I want to have people over to my house? And there are some people here, I know you are so hospitable. You have a gift I long for. And I don't want to make it sound, we have had multiple people live with us for years at a time. It's not like we're a closed door society. We just know it's not our gifting. It doesn't come easy for us. That doesn't exclude us. Can I do this? So maybe you're not that person. Can I just encourage you? Don't be like you're driving down Highway 70 at 65 miles an hour because we all obey the speed limit. I know, I've watched all of you driving. Don't be that yahoo. Yep, that's my wife's family's word. Don't be a yahoo driving down Highway 70. Realize you need to change. Woo! Do a U-turn in the middle of Highway 70. People die. Consider, do I want to change? Am I willing to change? Talk about it. Pray about it. Think about it. How can we start smallish and just get into the rhythm of having people back into our house again? Maybe you got burned. Sometimes people hurt. Well, I mean, that's not right. All the time people hurt. There's always a cost with people because we're expensive. Am I willing to trust God with that cost and have people into my life? Because it's expensive. Don't do a U-turn. Plan. Start small. Baby steps. Last thing, great but how, is actually opening my house up. Maybe have a small group in my house. Be willing. Be open. Tell people 3-4 times, I'd love you to come over. I'd love you to come over. I'd love you to come over. When Randy and I lived in, we went to Bible school in England, and it was in the 80s. And we lived in a nasty, nasty little house in a nasty little neighborhood. And you think, oh, it wasn't that bad. We had rats in our basement. Okay. It's a little rough. We had an open sewer in our basement running through it. It was kind of cool. You don't see that in St. Peter's all the time. True story? Yep, true story. I mean, there's always fresh meat. There's always game. You know, always something as an American pull, but they don't have guns in England. It was tougher. True story. We went over to Jeff and Shirley Brown's house for dinner. Our two kids, they've got three kids, and they live just down the street, 6-7 houses over. And we went, and the Brown family is outside looking in the window. And the Jeff, Bible student Jeff, is in the living room with a broom going like this. Now, two thoughts went through my mind. I hope he's not trying to catch dinner. That was the first one. And two, I hope he gets it, even if it's not dinner. Because I know her. And she ain't going in until whatever he's after is got. Jeff was chasing a rat. And we had dinner that night in the Brown house.
Yeah, you did.
Good stuff. I don't remember what we ate. I ate sparingly. Fasting. I'm fasting unto the Lord. Your house doesn't have to be perfect to have people over. Amen. Rats, that's one thing. Your house does. You know what you need to do? Be friendly. Be kind. Be inviting. Be attentive. But it starts with having somebody over. And it's not just to watch a football game, but to ask questions. Can we pray with you? What's going on in your world? I know your son's coming up with an operation. Can we pray for him? And you start getting into each other's lives and sharing life and reality. There's nothing like it to know somebody actually loves you. Somebody actually knows your kids' names. There's nothing like it. It's called life, and we're made for it by heaven. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your kindness. I thank you that you gave us the Word of God. Thank you for theology. Thank you for doctrine. I thank you for truth. But Father, I thank you also that you put truths in the Word of God that challenge us, that challenge my comfortability, that challenge my understanding. Most all of us are Americans. But Father, almost all of us are Westerners. We're just raised thinking a certain way. Father, may your kingdom come. Amen. In my mind, in my heart, in my expression of life. May your kingdom come to help heaven come so that when it hits my house, it can affect my neighbors and those people at school and those people at work, that your kingdom would come and change me, to hold those things that you've given me with open palms, not to be foolish, not to be stupid, but to hold them and say, Lord, it's your stuff. What do you want me to do with it? If you, Lord, and understand, if we give everything away, I have nothing to give. I need to be a wise steward. But Lord, it's what you've given me. Help us, Holy Spirit, that people would be saved and healed as a result of your presence being with us. Because Lord, you bless unity. You bless generosity. You bless hospitality. Help us as a family, Father. We would live like Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. Thank you. God bless you. If you'd like prayer, if you prayed at the beginning to invite Jesus into your life, we have a prayer team. Would you please come forward? We'd love to pray with you. You've got challenges. We'd love to pray with you. Have an amazing day. God bless you. We love you. Amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.